Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel, we were taught that as people in this world see the same sin every day, it begins to be viewed as acceptable, and eventually it works its way into the church. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
What happens is that this becomes a part of society and everybody's all right with it. Nobody has a problem with it any longer. And so even God's people do it. I'm afraid that we have a generation that's my generation that's in our senior years now, and we stand against things such as gay marriage because the Bible speaks out against it. And as I just shared with you, Jesus and his words about it. Now, again, we're fundamentalist. A fundamentalist doesn't say they're gay, kill them. A fundamentalist says they're gay, they need to be saved from that life. Show them the gospel and show them that Jesus Christ can take that from them as he has multitudes of others. And Christ will if they want his eternal salvation. Now, I'm afraid, though, that the generation that's following us, they hear it in their schools, they see it on television, everywhere they go, and it's viewed as acceptable. And it may be one day that gay marriage becomes so acceptable that it starts in the homes of so-called Christians. And they're marrying and giving in marriage, and here they are, then they're adopting children. And before too long, these people are serving in offices of the church. Now, that's already happening in many places. And God condemns it. It's wrong. It's sin. It's vile in God's sight. Now, to me, personally, it's vile in my sight. But really, I'm not the one that makes a determination. God does, and I'm just coming as his messenger. You know, if you're going to be mad at God, I guess, because I'm just a messenger delivering his message. So understand that when society accepts sin, it does not justify it in God's sight. Remember Abraham? Oh, yes, Abraham. Hey, boy, that guy, his wife even told him to take Hagar, and Hagar had a child for him. And here we are today, still fighting battles in the Middle East as a result of that sin over 3,500 years ago. So there are problems that come out of these things. Now, Peninnah and Hannah are the other players besides Elkanah. The name Peninnah is defined as pearl. Hannah is defined as grace. Isn't it interesting that often we want to say bad things about Peninnah and not about Hannah? But one thing we need to remember, all three people involved here, Elkanah, Peninnah, and Hannah, all three know the score here. They know they're wrong. It's not that one is a good sinner and the other is a bad sinner. All sin is bad in God's sight. He cannot look on iniquity. So there are sins that happen that God does not judge immediately. They're not punished immediately. And people may think, well, hey, it's no longer wrong, or God doesn't care that much about it. It's not that bad. You remember when Ananias and Sapphira lied about what they gave at the house of the Lord in Acts chapter 5, what happened? They were struck dead immediately. Now, has God struck dead every person since then that immediately that lied about their tithes, say, for example, on their 1040 form that they give to the government? No, I don't think God struck them dead immediately. But that first time was to show us how vile, corrupting such a thing as giving unto the Lord's house is in God's sight when we corrupt it with a lie. And so that was important. We see that the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, who were struck dead immediately when they offered strange incense. Now, since that day, there are people who have done some very sacrilegious, anti-godly or ungodly things in God's house. They weren't struck dead immediately. But it shows us that striking dead those first two, how serious a sin it is when we worship God in a fleshly way. And understand, worship is not something that's supposed to please our flesh. It's something that's to glorify God in our spirits. Let me give you another example. Israel did not allow the land to rest every seventh year. 490 years later, they owed God 70 years of rest. So what happened? Well, Israel went into captivity. How long were they in captivity? 70 years. Nothing is planted during that time. And so we find that the land had rest. God got it back. Just because the judgment isn't immediate doesn't mean that it's no longer wrong, nor does it mean that it's any less severe in its import on God. Now, don't think just because the world of their day, that they all did it, and it was socially acceptable that polygamy was all right, don't think that any worldliness is okay for the Christian today, just because it isn't judged immediately. Now, as I said, I see gay marriage is making its inroads, and in time it will be an acceptable thing here, as much as I hate to say that, unless we have a great revival in America. And that's what we need to pray for. Pray for revival. And that's going to happen through prayer, fasting, and the preaching of the gospel. But on the other hand, understand, that's only one step. The next step will be polygamy. And that'll be the next thing that is allowed. Now, there is a coming judgment. And God will deal one day with worldliness. My friend, just think about that. God will deal with worldliness. Think of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, do you see there about doing the will of God and abiding forever? But the opposite is the worldly lust pass away. They don't abide forever. Sin has pleasure, but only for a season. It leaves regret, and it leaves brokenness. And so what happens? The desires of our flesh, the desires our eyes see, and then the pride of life that exalts ourselves above God, above others. All these things, my friend, they lead to failure. Now, it's interesting, too, because for the Christian, when he reads 1 John, he sees in verse 28, after in verses 15 through 17, speaking about the love not the world, he says, as Christians, they're either going to be ashamed or have confidence at his appearing. You know, one of two ways you're going to appear before the Lord at the rapture if you're saved: confident or ashamed. How will you appear, my friend? Now let's look at the story here. First of all, let's read through verses 4 through 8. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters portions. Understand, although Hannah is the favored wife, Peninnah is still his wife. She's still his responsibility, and all her sons and her daughters that he's had with her. Therefore, he makes full provision, not in part. He provided totally everything they needed for this yearly sacrifice. He goes on and says in verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now understand, don't miss that God knows what he's doing. It was the Lord that shut her womb up. Now, some say, was it because of her sin of being married to Elkanah and being a second wife, or the two of them being there? I don't know if it is or not, to be honest with you. The Bible doesn't tell us. All it tells us, the Lord shut her womb up. Now, that's possible. That's why, because we saw that in the case with Jacob and his two wives. But on the other hand, perhaps we see something just like we did with Abraham when he's told to offer Isaac. It doesn't make sense. But Abraham goes on to do it. And God has to stop him from doing it. But he was going to do it because it was God's will. But God knew what he was doing. And oh, what a great picture of what Jesus Christ would do for us through that. There was Noah, who was told to build an ark. He's out there in the middle of a desert building an ark, and he's wondering, oh, how in the world, and why in the world do you work 120 years building this boat? Well, I was stuck with it. God sends a flood. You may not see it right at the moment, but for everything that happens in life, God has a purpose. And we need to understand that. Then it goes on in verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore. In other words, she just strongly made fun of her, strongly pushed this in front of her. I've got children. You do not. Elkanah and I, we're just like this, man. We're tight. We are having children together, and you're not able to produce any children for him. What kind of a wife are you? So she's giving her a hard time.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.